the feature that grabs everybody's attention is they look up, because suddenly they get about 3 feet in the door and they just stop and they look. And the sheep's wool sealing, I mean, I was involved with the wool industry for a lot of years and, you know, passionate about wool, and we've got the Tambo Teddies over there just to sort of, you know, keep that theme going. So, yeah, that's something that you won't see anywhere else, is a sheep's wool sealing in any sort of shop, I don't think. The old bottle collection is mine. That's stuff that I've been gathering up over almost a lifetime. The old billies, some have turned into lampshades, as you can see. They were billies I used on my walks. Yeah, look, people are bringing stuff in as well. Fellas like Ivo Klarich bought the doors in from one of his old tobacco sheds there, so we've turned those into coffee tables and other bits and pieces. The old meat cleaver up there is from the Thornborough Butchery to the north of here. And the list goes on, you know, the buffalo horns are from Pungalina Station, where I used to be out there for 13 years. Yeah, but people are bringing in bits and pieces, you know, wire strainers and horseshoes, and the blacksmith bellows come from Victoria. Yeah, wine barrels, I mean, just goes on. Yeah. Right, we've just walked through a little sort of workshop area, but out the back here you can see this is our outdoor area, still in development stage.
But what about this?
Yeah, this used to be the cooling tower. Apparently there's a wooden frame was here, and the water used to trickle down through the ammonia pipe, because it would have been ammonia gas in those days for the cooling system. But again, it's that feel of, you know, rural and days gone by.
Oh, and how much of yourself is in this project?
Oh, yeah, it very much reflects myself, for sure. Yeah, it's me, yeah.
Right down to the name, Camp 64. What's the significance of that?
Yeah, okay, well, I had to come up with a name, and I did a bit of head-scratching over that one, but I did a walk between Camarwheel and Birdsville. That was in 2011-12. I split it up into two stages. It was a 1,000-kilometre walk. Over that 1,000 kilometres, there was 80-odd camps. Camp 64 was one of the remote, desolate. It was waterless, it was treeless. Not that that was unusual. There was plenty of camps that were along those lines. A few months later, I flew out to that same clay pan where Camp 64 was, and I landed long after the walk was finished. And I was able to sort of view it a little bit differently, and it was fairly significant from that point of view. And there's a book coming out called Camp 64. And I thought, well, why not name the shop Camp 64? Because people often ask that question.
You walked 1,000 kilometres on your own through outback Queensland. That's suggests to me that you're a man that doesn't mind your own company. How do you go about turning from that adventure in your life to a completely different venture in opening a tourism business in the little town of Dimbula?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Charlie, because there was a couple in here today referred to this little place. They said, go and meet Owen Davies. He said he's the most unlikeliest bloke to ever run a coffee shop. So
are you taking that as a compliment?
Oh yeah, no, that's a compliment. Yeah, I'm comfortable with my own company. I spent 13 years in the territory. 9 of those years were on Pungalina Station. Yes, I enjoy the solitude, the remoteness, and the time out. Yeah, I can be out in the bush there one day, you know, and in Melbourne the next, mixing with the corporate world. I'm comfortable either way, you know, but I'm always glad to get back to the bush, though.
But you weren't completely alone. You had some company. Tell us about your journey mates.
I had the 8 goats with me, and they've all got personalities of their own. And on stage one of the walk, I had my 2 dingoes, Bo and Scunge. That was a mother and daughter combination. Scunge got sick during the course of that walk. She was getting a bit of age on her. Bowdog, she came with me for the remainder of the walk. And yeah, look, there's a pretty special connection there, I think. They really are your mates when you're out there. And, you know, I think they feel as much a connection as what you do. It's pretty special.
And the goats, how do they go as, well, pack goats?
Well, they are amazing. And again, there's that connection or a bond. People would say, well, how do you keep the goats? How do you keep them tied up? Do you lead them during the day? Do you tie them up at night? Well, no, you don't. They're just like my dog. They become a part of that little nucleus, and we all just wander along together. So, you know, I have some rules. They have to walk behind me, not in front. And they, at night time, They would all camp around the swag or campfire. If it's a cold night, you'd see them, and you know, because some of the nights were down to zero and a little bit colder. And the goats, they'd all huddle in around the fire every night time, and close to your swag. They're never comfortable away from the camp. Because a lot of dingoes out there, and they're pretty reactive to dogs, goats are. So, you know, if they felt a bit insecure, well, they'd be, you know, closer to your swag, and sometimes too close. I'd have to literally kick them off, you know. So, yeah, it's all part of that sort of a, as one sort of a feeling, you know. We do our sort of 10, 12, 15, maybe 20 kilometres a day. A lot of that was dictated by where the water was. It's always nice to camp on water. We couldn't always do it. It wasn't essential. I could go 2 or 3 days without water. That's no problem at that time of the year. And if there's a bit of feed around, well, you know, the goats prosper if you're following channels that have been flooded. So, yeah, pretty self-sufficient. And one of the longest stints was about 300 kilometres, I think, between homesteads. So, yes, it's isolation in the truest sense of the word. Yeah. But, yeah, it's good. Loved it.
Where did those survival skills come from?
The survival skills, well, I think they just evolved over time. You know, I grew up in the Victorian Mallee, but I progressed to Queensland in 1984 into some pretty hard country out from Charleville. There was a few survival skills there, just, you know, dealing with droughts and everything that goes with living on the land. But when I moved to Pungalina Station in 1999, well, that was extremely remote. And I guess, you know, it was a case of taking the survival skills to the next stage. But look, I thrived on it. It's just, I just like a challenge, I think. And, you know, Camp 64, the shop, it's just been another challenge, another adventure, you know, just in a different format.
And mastering the coffee machine?
Yeah, well, I've got a bit to go in that department, Charlie.